Good morning. It's wonderful to welcome you here on this sunny Sunday, this Super Bowl Sunday, wherein, for so many of us, hope continues to spring eternal as fans of our home team, and we welcome you today in worship. I'm Jeremy Africa. I serve as the lead pastor here at Midland First United Methodist Church. And whether you're here in the warmth of our sanctuary or whether in the warmth of your homes in various places, we welcome you to this time of worship together. This morning, as we begin the service, we start with a number of announcements here in the church, ways to be connected with the life and mission of the church. And to start with, I'm going to turn to Gabrielle Cook McElvenna, who has an invitation to serve on the Curry Concert volunteer team this morning.
Good morning, church. It is my honor and privilege to invite you to be Christ's hands and feet as we host another Curry Concert here in this building. So there are two ways that you can serve. Firstly, for this year's concert, which we are holding here, you can offer to be an usher or a host. So what does this mean? This means you come with a bright, smiling face and the ability to open a door and say, "Welcome to Midland First." Super duper simple. The second way that you can serve is by using your gifts and talents to help us plan for the 2027 Curry Concert, which we are hoping is a bigger affair that we can make connectional with other nonprofits in the area. If this is something that you like to do, if you like to party plan behind the scenes, if you like to help with logistics, this is a way you can serve. All of that information is on the screen behind you. We will have a Dreamers meeting and we will decide on what that event will look like for 2027. Thank you.
Thank you, Gabrielle. Wonderful opportunities for our church to interact with our community, and so invite you to seek out Gabrielle if you wish to be a part of either of those teams. Next, we're going to turn to Denise Link, who's a member of our missions team, with an invitation to a one-day mission trip. Denise?
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Next Tuesday, February 17th, some members of our mission team are heading down to Detroit to the Cass Community Social Services Center, and they're going to do some work there. They're going to prepare and serve lunch. They might do some sorting of clothing and donations that come into the center. They're also going to get a tour of the tiny house neighborhood down there, which is a pretty neat thing. So if anyone is interested in going along, we're looking for a few more people, and they will leave next Tuesday morning, the 17th, at 7:30 in the morning from the church parking lot, and they plan to be back about 5:30 in the evening. So if anyone is interested, there is a insert in your bulletin that has Faith Fuente's name there and Fritz Hyde and their phone numbers. Or if you have any questions, I'll be in the narthex after the service if you want to ask me something. Okay, thanks.
Thanks for extending that invitation. Wonderful opportunity to live out your faith with a one-day mission trip on the 17th. Next, I want to highlight for you, indeed, as we head into Lent, the 40 days between Ash Wednesday and Easter, not including Sundays, we have a number of ways to enter into this season of the church in a very intentional way. If you've been opening your weekly emails from the church, you know that we have several things leading off into Lent. We have our Pancake Supper, which is going to be hosted by our youth on the 17th, the day before Ash Wednesday. So I invite you to gather during that time. That'll be from 5 to 6:30. And then on Ash Wednesday, we have our Ash Wednesday service at 7 p.m. Service will include the imposition of ashes, which is the placement of ashes on our foreheads. And also, we will have the sacrament of Holy Communion as part of that service. So invite you to that intentional start, to the start of Lent. And then, indeed, we have our Lenten study, a study that we'll be doing throughout the season of Lent, throughout these 40 days. The sermons on Sundays will be based on this study. This year, we're looking at the book, Get Your Life Back, Everyday Practice for a World Gone Mad, books by John Eldridge. And it's a study focused on creating space in our daily lives, in our schedules, in our souls, for the unforced rhythms of God. Who could use a little bit more of that in day-to-day, yes? So this study is for you. The books are available in the reception area just inside the Jerome and Larkin Street entrance. There's also the study plan. It's in your bulletin. You can see that as well. So details about this study and everything I've just mentioned is available in your weekly e-blast from the church. If you aren't yet receiving those in your email, I invite you to contact the church office and we'll be happy to add you to this distribution so you can know all that is happening in the life of the church and especially here in this season of Lent. Finally, I'm going to remind us that today we celebrate Boy Scout Sunday with scouts and leaders from Scout Troop 761. I want to extend a welcome to the scouts and their families. It was interesting. I was having conversation with a member in our church about Scout Sunday and welcoming Troop 761, and they shared that they had grown up in a troop here in the Tri-City area, and we're a little jealous of 761. And that when they were in the troop, 761 would often win a few awards or two. So know that we welcome you, even if we didn't grow up in 761, but here to celebrate scouting and all the good that Boy Scouts do here in our community. As part of recognition for Boy Scout Sunday, you may have been greeted by one or two of the scouts on the way in. Charlie, a member of the troop, will be leading our call to worship. And then Norm Lake, who is a member of the congregation, also involved in the troop, will share in our scouting moment today. So we welcome you to our time of worship and glad that we could celebrate this occasion together.
Praise the Lord. Happy are those who fear the Lord, who greatly delight in his commandments. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. They rise in the darkness as light for the upright. They are gracious, merciful, and righteous.
It is God who feels their mercy, and when they remember.
Brothers and sisters, it is my pleasure to invite you to join in our opening hymn, a hymn to remind us that we are here to be worshiping God, we are here to be blessed, we are here to soak in his word. This song is called Gather Us In.
Sound of his
Please be seated.
Welcome everybody today. I have a joke for you. What did the light say to the salt? What did the light say to the salt? I find you very seasoning. Okay, today we are continuing to study our Gospel of Matthew. Jesus teaches from a mountain. He says, you are like the salt of the earth and the light of the world. I wonder what that's going to mean. I think we're going to discover that today as we divulge a bit more into the Sunday school class. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you, Jesus, for all of the children here today. Be with us today as we explore what you mean like salt and light. Bless our Sunday school class as we spread your love and the message of Jesus through preparing Valentine cards for our congregation members and goodie bags for our Sunday school friendship luncheon friends. Amen. Thank you. Let's go to Sunday school. Anybody?
Good morning, church. My name is Norm Lake, and I probably have been involved with this scout troop longer than anybody else is still alive. And it's really my honor to be able to recognize 108 years consecutively without missing any year that this church has sponsored the scout troop. You see some of whom sitting up here. In fact, would you guys stand up and accept a round of applause? This program isn't the only program that people from this church have sponsored. We have ones like Campfire, 4-H, and Girl Scouts, as well as the Scouting Organization, all trying to build character, skills to survive in the outdoors, outdoor appreciation, leadership from the Scouts themselves. We call it a Scout-led troop, not an adult-led troop. The adults are there to support the Scouts as they decide what programs they want to try to do, and we do the best we can to help them succeed. But you learn a lot when you don't always succeed perfectly, and so we believe in continuous improvement. We believe that Scouts need to learn at their own pace. One of the things that I wanted to point out, because we do have adult leaders, and there's something called Key 3 by the Scouting Organization, Scouting America. That includes the committee chairperson, the scoutmaster, and myself, the charter partner organization representative. And we have a unique situation here right now. I don't know if it's ever happened before, probably could have, but the Scoutmaster, Nick Mapes, and the committee chair, Chris Walters, and myself all earned the Eagle rank in Troop 761 and are here back as leaders. And I wanted to compliment especially the Scoutmaster and the committee chair. Now, one of the things that I wanted to mention was that scouting has evolved in the past year. And one of the ways that it's evolved is offering a chance for us to have family troops. And that means that brothers and sisters can enjoy all the benefits and learning experience of scouting through Scouting America. Now, it doesn't mean that there isn't still Girl Scouts and Campfire and 4-H and all the other organizations, but we're trying to be more inclusive, and we have our first female member of the troop, probably an Eagle Scout someday, I think. Wish her luck. Well, that's pretty much all I wanted to say. Congratulations to Scouting for being around. Let's see, what would it be? It started in 1910, so you can add it up. Our troop has been around now for 108 years. So congratulations to all of us.
Amen. Thank you, Chancel Choir, for the anthem and just reminding us that this journey, this faith journey, is one that we take together. As we continue in worship, we take time to share in the giving of our tithes and offerings. If you're in the pews, I invite you to let us know of your presence here by signing the red friendship pads. If you're at home and you're on a platform that allows you to leave a comment, we invite you to let us know that you are with us by dropping us a comment in the comment field. If you're a guest with us this morning, we invite you to sit back and to reflect on the blessings that God has poured into your life. And if you are a friend or member of the congregation, we want to continue to thank you for supporting the missions and the ministries of the church. However we are giving to God today, let us delight in giving back to the one who's given us so much. Would the ushers please come forward?
The King of Love, my shepherd.
Almighty God, as we are gathered in a spirit of worship, we give you thanks for your blessings that you pour into our lives. We give you thanks that your heart is always open to ours. We ask for your blessings upon these gifts, O Lord, that we might continue your work and that more and more might know of your love and of your grace. We pray this together in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
The scripture reading for today is from Isaiah 58, verses 1 to 9a, from the New Living Translation. True and false worship. Shout with the voice of a trumpet blast. Shout aloud. Don't be timid. Tell my people of Israel of their sins. Yet they act so pious. They come to the temple every day and seem delighted to learn all about me. They act like a righteous nation that would never abandon the laws of its God. They ask me to take action on their behalf, pretending they want to be near me. We have fasted before you, they say. Why aren't you impressed? We have been very hard on ourselves, and you don't even notice it. I will tell you why, I respond. It's because you are fasting your workers. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me. You humble yourselves by going through the motions of penance, bowing your heads like reeds bending in the wind. You dress in burlap and cover yourselves with ashes. Is this what you call fasting? Do you really think that this will please the Lord? No, this is not the kind of fasting I want. I want you to free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burdens of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them and do not hide from relatives who need your help. Then your salvation will come like the dawn and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then when you call, the Lord will answer. Yes, I am here, he will quickly reply. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I will confess that at one point in my life, I was not a believer. And most wouldn't even call me a proponent. More specifically, I was not a believer nor a proponent of brushing or flossing on a daily basis. I recognize that this is audaciously gross, but the fact is, back when I was in middle school, I went through such a time. I take full responsibility for it. I was raised to know better. I'm not sure how, nor do I know why, but somehow and some way, I figured that it would be good enough if I simply did so around the time I saw my dentist. In other words, I honestly thought that so long as I flossed and brushed right around the time of my six-month appointment, I thought that should be, well, good enough. I need not go into detail about the time my dentist informed my parents that it would take several appointments to take care of the half dozen or so cavities that they had discovered on one of those visits. Needless to say, I have since learned the importance of daily dental hygiene. And if you're a member of this congregation and you know that so too is Dr. Mead, a longtime dentist in our community, and you're wondering, I wonder if Dr. Mead was Jeremy's dentist, the answer is yes. And the answer is yes, I feel convicted, but I had such a time in my life. Well, and I'm glad that I've learned, Dr. Mead, yes. But I bring this all up because early in life, I took a similar approach to my faith and to my relationship with God. See, I figured that I had my bases covered so long as I took care of things at critical points along the way. In other words, I thought I was good so long as at one point or another, I had accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And so long as right around the end of my life, I asked God to forgive me for the sins in between, I figured that I was all right. Much like the dentist, I figured it didn't matter all that much what I did along the way. No less why I did the things I did along the way. So long as I attended to those things when they mattered most. As it turns out, I was just as wrong in my approach to my relationship with God and to my faith as I was in my approach to the dentist. Today's scripture reading is from the 58th chapter of Isaiah. And parts of this Old Testament book are a cautionary tale of sorts as Isaiah shares his prophetic message with God's people of how they had strayed from God and from God's word and how they would face the consequences of having done so. And at the same time, Isaiah also speaks of how God would redeem God's people, how God would restore their relationship with him. Verses 1 through 5 here fall into that first category of Isaiah sharing with them of how they had missed the mark. Isaiah gets to the point in the very first verse, "Shout with a voice of a trumpet blast, shout out loud, don't be timid, tell the people Israel of their sins." This whole chapter is a back and forth through Isaiah of God and God's people. And here Isaiah is speaking for God and saying that, tell my people of their sins. And so from the beginning, Isaiah makes it very clear that he isn't just preaching to one person or to one group. Instead, he's preaching, he's talking to all of them. He's talking to all of God's people. And if we're open, we would acknowledge that he's also preaching to us, because what was said back then still speaks to us today. And where God's people had missed the mark, was in how they lived out their faith. Now, in some ways, the people of Israel were ahead of me in my view and in my approach to my relationship with God. See, they understood that their faith and their relationship with God was something that was to be lived out daily, not just in those moments that mattered most, not just at the very beginning or at the very end. But instead, they understood that their relationship with God was one they needed to attend to day by day, in the daily moments. And so we might ask ourselves, so where did they go wrong? Where had they strayed from God's intended ways? Well, as it turns out, in our faith and in our relationship with God, we got to have heart. What we do for God and what we do with God has to really soak in. This is the heart that God wants. In other words, our faith, our commitment to the way of the cross ought to inform how we see others and how we treat others. It's not just on the surface of what we do, but our faith and our commitment to God soaks into how we respond to suffering and how we respond to injustice and how we renounce the forces of the spiritual forces of wickedness and how we reject the evil powers of this world. These are vows, these are words that we speak into our lives through our baptism. And God is saying, how you see me, how you live out your relationship with me needs to soak into how you live this out. God's people are quick to respond to the prophet Isaiah and his warnings. They say to God, "We've done what God has asked." They say in verse 3, "We have fasted before you. Why aren't you impressed?" they cry out. They even say, "We've been very hard on ourselves. And you, God, don't even notice it." What they had failed to realize, however, is that there was a disconnect. There was a disconnect between what they were doing and their heart. A disconnect between here and here and here. Despite their faithfulness to fasting, they had done so just for the sake of doing so. Just for the sake of doing so. And in the meantime, when they thought it didn't matter as much, perhaps, they continued to be oppressive in how they treated others. They ignored the needs of kin and neighbors. All the while, they kept fighting and quarreling amongst themselves. In their faith, and in their relationship with God, God sought more from God's people. And God still does today. Reflecting on the last 8 weeks or so, the previous 6 months, and really since my reappointment here about a year and a half ago, Isaiah's words here hit home for me. And I empathize with the struggle of God's people. Because once we step outside of the relative comfort of the sanctuary on a Sunday morning, or in our worship on a day like today, this is tough stuff that God's people, that we are having to wrestle with. After all, at the crux of what Isaiah is saying is that what God desires and what God requires is that we love our kin, that we love our neighbor, that we love the other, those we might not understand, those who are struggling, those who are leery or even fearful. And in the instance of those whom Isaiah addressed, the hungry, the unhoused, the naked, and the ignored. And how we do this individually as followers of Jesus Christ, and how we do this collectively as a church, well, figuring all this out, if we're being forthright, is difficult. How we live in relationship with people we don't yet know. How we remain open to people who are different or whose paths may have not matched ours. How we enter into relationship with one another. It's difficult stuff. But here's where I find solace. And this is my hope. We find it in Isaiah chapter 58, verses 8 and 9. If it helps you to read along, I invite you to turn to the Pew Bibles on page 647 in the Old Testament. You'll find the verses there. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. The Bibles in the pew are the New Revised Standard Version. But here's what is said. When we do this tough stuff, when we see the other, who others might ignore, whom we might walk past, when we help with the needs of others, when we see Christ in the others, this is what happens. Then your salvation will come down like the dawn, and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then when you call, the Lord will answer. Yes, I am here, he will quickly reply. In other words, if we stay to the path that God prescribes, and I would add to our context as a church, if we give one another permission to grow, if we give one another the grace to make mistakes and to not always get it right, if we allow ourselves to take risks and wrestle with things, if we give each other the opportunity to sometimes even fail when we're trying together to move forward, if we do this day by day, what Isaiah is saying is that God is going to show up. And when God does, his light and our salvation shall break forth like the dawn in God-sized ways and in ways we won't ever be able to explain as to how or why. But I am convinced that we will know, and that it will be more than we might anticipate. So may it be so. May we continue to wrestle with the difficult parts of our faith, where it's not always comfortable, or where we don't have it scripted. But as God's people, we make space for God to show up and break forth like the dawn. Amen? Amen. As we continue in our worship, let us pray. Almighty God, this day in worship, as our choir sang, we are reminded of how our faith is a journey and how it can be like climbing a ladder. It brings different seasons and different understandings, different challenges and different opportunities. And with one another and you, we confess that we don't always get it right. We confess that our heart is not always into it, that it's not always open to those who are different from us, those whose paths are different, those the world tells us that we ought to fear. And we pray that, Lord, that you would free us for joyful obedience. Lord, that you would do a work amongst us and in each of us, that in our times and in the discord, we might see you. Of each and every one that we see, it might be here at the church, it might be in the nooks and crannies of our community, it might be even so when we open our news apps or turn on the nightly news. Give us a head and heart, hands and feet that are open to you, and that we joyfully surrender to you, that once again your light, our salvation, shall break forth like the dawn. And when it does, O God, give us eyes to see and mouths to proclaim the goodness of your ways, the goodness of your love, and the goodness of your grace. We pray this asking more and more for us, for our community, for our nation, and for our world. And all this we pray in the name of Jesus, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able as we sing our closing hymn, Lord, Whose Love and Humble Service. You'll find this on page 581 of the hymnal or on the screen in front of you. So those of you who know me know that I grew up in Southeast Michigan, and when I was first appointed here as an associate pastor of youth ministries, being in Midland was a first for me. And one of the things I learned about Midland, this curious phenomena, is that everything and every place in the state is just about 2 hours from Midland. How far from family in Detroit? 2 hours. How far from the greatest place on earth, Ann Arbor? I just lost some of you, I know. Two hours. How far to Ishpeming? Okay, that's an extreme. But no. You know, one of the beautiful pictures that I now see coming back to Midland is how in some ways this church serves as a crossroads. Because when I'm here throughout the week, if I stay late enough on a Wednesday night, I know the troop will be here, right? Tuesday nights, troops? Tuesday nights. If I stay another night of the week, I know I'll run into Pier 360, which is a group working to find victory over addiction. If I happen to be here on a Friday night, I might encounter Alcoholics Anonymous. If I come early enough in the morning, I'll meet Bruce at the front door greeting students in his English as second language class. And in getting to know our congregation, I know we're coming from various places. Some of us are retired, raising grandkids, cheering them on, traveling to do that. Some of us are still finding our way in life, getting that education. Or Saginaw Valley, or perhaps Northwood. Others have been here for a long time. Others are here for new, just like me. Here's the amazing thing. When I venture to be curious enough, I stretch myself, and I look to connect with other people. God shows up in those nooks and crannies. When we open ourselves to each other, may we continue to do that work, that hard work as a church, that our hearts might grow and that God might beat through it. Amen? Amen.